It's 7:44 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Bob Powell. Many people recovering from substance use disorder rely on therapy and medication.
And I have not used heroin not one time since the day I started taking Suboxone. And I feel like that the Suboxone has saved my life.
But medications themselves can lead to unforeseen pitfalls, sometimes with law enforcement. We'll hear more about that in just a moment. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Bob Powell. Thousands of people lined the streets of Wheeling this weekend, waiting in line before doors opened for a rally President Donald Trump held to boost Republican midterm election candidates. Glennis Board spoke with supporters and skeptics and brings us this report.
More than 7,000 people came out for Trump's seventh presidential visit to West Virginia. Crowds were mostly peaceful and seemed excited to support the president. Holly Griffith, just 10 years old, was at the front of the line with her mother. They came from Georgia.
We were the first ones here. We slept on the sidewalk. We drove yesterday, and it took like 14 hours. We left in the morning and got here around midnight, and yeah.
This wasn't Holly's first rally.
I think I've been to like 16 and my mom's been to like 21. So I've been to around 16.
Trump was in the Mountain State to support GOP candidates, including Patrick Morrissey, who hopes to unseat longtime Democratic incumbent Joe Manchin.
Here comes Patrick Morrissey.
Jamie Dixon of Wellsburg, West Virginia, believes Manchin's best hope for holding on to his seat is to vote to confirm Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh.
If he wants to continue to have any votes in this state, he needs to vote for that man to be in our Supreme Court.
Still, not everyone in line was as convinced about Kavanaugh. 28-year-old Nesaride came in from Washington, D.C. Originally from Cameroon, Nesaride has been an ardent Trump supporter.
Nobel! He's going to get a Nobel Prize!
But she was less certain about Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court. She said it was hard to know who to believe, but that she was disappointed in Kavanaugh's emotional testimony.
You're in court every single day. You see what people go through every single day. So you should have more self-control.
During his speech, President Trump continued to plug Kavanaugh. He also spent a lot of time talking about improved economic conditions. But some protesters came to implore Trump to keep some of his economic campaign promises. Tommy Willico, a 36-year-old laid-off worker from General Motors, came in from Youngstown, Ohio. He voted for Trump and says the president recently promised to bring jobs back to his region.
I've never seen it this bad. You know, since I've been laid off, since Trump has been in office, I watched General Motors lose the third shift, the second shift, Sears, Kmart. In our area, it's really like it's a domino effect.
Willico says he voted for Trump based on promises made to restore economic conditions.
We just want like some type of like glimmer of hope.
Willico is part of a group of protesters following President Trump to various campaign events. The last day to register to vote in the midterm election is October 16th. The election will be held November 6th. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glennis Board in Wheeling.
Amid the Ohio Valley's devastating opioid crisis, thousands of people who suffer opioid use disorder find the treatment with medications such as Suboxone help them recover from addiction. But some face a catch-22 on the road to recovery. Using the medication while driving can land them in trouble with the law. Jeff Young has more in this update on Wendy Kreitz, a woman struggling for sobriety.
After decades of addiction to prescription opioids and heroin, Wendy Kreitz finally made a clean break.
I just really want to be off of it. It's just, I hit rock bottom.
Last year, the Ohio Valley Resource profiled Kreitz, a single mother getting by on low-wage jobs and struggling through her first year of sobriety. Like many people recovering from substance use disorder, Kreitz used a combination of counseling and a medication called Suboxone.
It's been a huge part of my recovery. I don't think I would have ever been able to do it without the Suboxone. It helped stop the cravings.
Photojournalist Rebecca Kiger lived with Kreitz, documenting her struggle for sobriety, and the two have stayed in touch. Kiger saw how important it was for Kreitz to have medication-assisted treatment.
What it does for her, Wendy, who's kind of lived with an addiction disorder since she was 15 years old. It allows her to not have her whole life focused around drug use.
And I have not used heroin not one time since the day I started taking Suboxone. And I feel like that the Suboxone has saved my life.
When I met Wendy, she was renting a room in a home that had no heat. She was working a minimum wage job at McDonald's and didn't have transportation.
Since then, I've gotten my own place. I went through classes and got my driver's license back, got a car now.
She can help her son get to school, help him study, hold down a full-time job, maintain relationships with her friends and family, maintain her life.
Kreitz has been clean 2 years now, but an incident in August could be her biggest challenge yet. And ironically, it has to do with the very medication that has kept her sober.
Wendy was driving in Charlestown. An old friend had asked her for a ride.
So I went and picked him up, and 30 seconds after I got him in the car, I had saw lights and I got pulled over. When the officer saw who I was, he knew me.
He recognized her as somebody he had pulled over in the past when she was in active addiction.
I said, I've been in the Suboxone program for almost 2 years. I don't do drugs anymore. His question was, so you said you were in a Suboxone program? And I said, yes, sir. And so then he stated, well, you will have to pass a field sobriety test.
Suboxone has the potential to impair drivers at certain doses, especially among those not accustomed to the drug. Kreitz says she's been on the same prescribed dose for more than a year and was not impaired. But when she was made to stand on one foot or walk heel to toe, she failed the test.
I can't do it. I cannot do it because I am flat-footed and uncoordinated.
I believe she feels she's worked very hard to do the right thing. She's on Suboxone because that was the program offered to her.
I just wish people would get educated on Suboxone, that's all. It's like the state saying, okay, we need to help these people, and they pay for it. But then, and then the state penalizes you for it. And it really makes me angry that now they're probably going to take my license at the DMV for something that I did not even do.
She faces a lot of fines, which can be crippling to somebody who is in the economic category that she's in, which is basically working poor.
So I stand to lose everything, actually. My job, my home.
It would be a real setback. And for somebody who's in early recovery, really, after years of drug abuse, I would hate this then to become a stress that has her turning to drugs to cope.
Wendy Kreitz says she will refuse a plea deal. She faces a court hearing in December. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Jeff Young.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This morning, we'll hear one of the conversations that was recorded in the StoryCorps recording booth, which is currently in Charleston. On Tuesday, West Virginia Public Broadcasting is teaming up with StoryCorps and the Clay Center to host a live special live event to share some of those stories. One of those being featured is an interview Mountain Stage host Larry Gross did with jazz musician Bob Thompson. Thompson grew up in New York City but moved to West Virginia in the 1960s to attend college at West Virginia State.
What did you know about West Virginia, if anything?
Nothing. I didn't know that there was a West Virginia at that time.
Like most people.
And most of my friends didn't. Because for years they thought I was in Virginia somewhere.
Yeah, of course.
The western part of Virginia. Okay, I can deal with that. But, so when I came here, well, West Virginia was, Charleston area.
This was what year?
1960.
1960. Okay, this was before Civil Rights Act. This is before Voting Rights Act. Before the world was somewhat different in a lot of places. And I'm sure, you know, the experience here was a little different than New York City.
Exactly.
Tell me about that. When you got here, how'd you come?
I came on the bus.
Okay.
I usually travel by train, but they were on strike. So I took a Greyhound.
All right. So you took the Greyhound, which takes you right downtown.
Right, Charleston. Downtown.
Okay. You get off the bus, and what happens next?
I got off the bus, and I was hungry. So I looked across the street, and there was a little place called the Chuck Wagon. And I went over there, and I said, just like a hamburger and a Coke. And they said, okay. The woman said, yeah, you can have a hamburger and a Coke, but you can't eat it in here. You have to take it outside. And that was my first experience.
Okay. Welcome to Charleston.
Yeah, that was my first experience. But in all fairness, I was told that that was the last place in downtown Charleston that had that kind of policy. So, and that's the place that I went.
And then you had to head out to State College. What'd you do? How'd you get out there?
They have a cab.
A cab took you out there. Okay.
I figured, okay, it's right around the corner.
Yeah, not quite.
But it was quite an experience. In fact, it was during a time at the college, which was interesting because I experienced integration in reverse, because West Virginia State was a historical black college.
Right.
And they had just started integrating. White students had just started coming.
Really? Yeah. In 1960? Because I know it was. And even in more modern times, it was more black than white, but now I don't know what it is. But in any case, I knew the legacy was there. So you were there when the first whites were being...
Yes, exactly.
Well, at what point, here you are, still from Jamaica, Queens, you're a kid, you're in college. What point did you say, I think I'll be here, I'll stay here? Or did it just happen and you didn't notice and then you were here?
Yeah, it kind of happened. I was going back to New York during the summers, and then I was coming back, you know, for a while. And then I started staying here, you know, and then, then I met a West Virginia girl.
Okay, I mean, I knew that would come into the picture at some point. It usually does. And so so you decided just to, and she didn't want to go somewhere else?
Right.
Did you want to go back to New York and leave, or were you happy here?
I was kind of torn in between, you know, because by now I liked it here. I liked living here. I liked the style of life. I'd gotten used to it, you know, and a lot of things were different, you know. Yeah.
What did you like about it the most? I mean, that made you kind of tipped you over the scale?
Well, people.
Yeah.
People. The friendliness of people, the openness of people. You know, when I first came here, I would walk down Capitol Street and somebody would pass me and say, hi. And I was like, okay, what kind of game is this? We didn't have this in New York. What's hi? What's that
what's
about?
What's going on? You know?
And, but people, you know, I had several experiences, you know, that showed me where people were, you know. I remember once, and I may have told you this before, I was playing up at a ski resort, and I had a problem with my vehicle, and it ended up being a broken tie rod. I drove into Elkins, and I drove into this garage.
Which is right in the heart of West Virginia mountains. And
that's right.
It's a small town.
Yeah. And I went into Red Stalnicker's garage, and he told me what the problem was. And at that time, I just had it was so long ago, it was Bank AmeriCard. It was, I had this credit card. And he said, I'm sorry, I'm not set up to accept that now, you know. And I didn't have a checkbook or anything, so I started out the door. And he came out and got me. He said, hey, but I'll fix your truck, you know. And he pulled it on back in there. He fixed it and said, whenever you get where you're going, send me a check. Now, he didn't ask my name, where I was from, where I was going, nothing. Just whenever you get where you're going, send me a check.
That was musician Bob Thompson speaking with Mountain Stage host Larry Gross. Their conversation was recorded by the Mobile StoryCorps booth, which is in Charleston through October 7th. You can hear this conversation and more Tuesday, October 2nd at 5:40 p.m. at the Walker Theater at the Clay Center in downtown Charleston. More information is on our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up to date with the latest West Virginia news through our website at wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Bob Powell.